This audio production is brought to you by TheBestDayEver.com, David Wolf's premium longevity member site.
The content found on TheBestDayEver.com from David Wolf and New Horizon Health, Inc. is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as treatment cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be construed as such because that would be illegal. Always work with a qualified health professional before making any changes to your diet, supplement use, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. Please understand that you assume all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Lucian Gauthier, and I'm here with David Avocado Wolf, and we are here talking today about women's health and specific protocols that you can use to enhance women's health. And Dave, I've got to ask this question, which is, when you do the Women's Wellness Conference, you are so tuned in to health and nutrition. What do you see as the major challenges that you see women dealing with on a daily basis? You're out lecturing, you're on the road almost 300 days a year. You talk to thousands, if not tens of thousands of women. What are the issues that women are dealing with? What are some of the things that you see trending? What are some of the main concerns? And what are some of the main health protocols that you've been recommending for women?
Okay, well, I think one of the main concerns is just lack of energy, having enough energy to stay with it, stay on top of things, because women are multitaskers by nature. Men are not. Men do single jobs. Generally, the way our society is right now, women are probably working harder than men as a general rule. That's what I observe, and I think that's actually what's going on. And they're working harder in different ways, mentally, physically, emotionally. There's a lot more going on for women than men as a general rule. And we live in a world now where the overall stress is catching up in many different facets of society. I think women feel that more than men. So the overall stress and the energy that's required to kind of stay on top of things, those are probably the two biggest complaints. The third would be hormonal issues. So really difficult monthly cycles or changes. It's okay for a while, then it goes super difficult and it comes back again. Or challenges like acne or problems that are hormonal in nature. And once you start dealing with it hormonally, it seems to go away. And then there's also just the whole thing of like upgrading out of kind of the conventional food and then getting onto the, you know, basically getting onto superfoods. And so there's a lot more interest from women in doing that than in men. It's probably 65-35. It's 65% women, 35% men. It might be higher than that. It might be 70% women who like get it and are upgrading. They're like off the other conventional food and they're going basically more to superfoods because women are more, I think, immediately concerned about how they appear and don't want to be eating this food that basically sticks to the ribs and just, you know, can't be eating all this food. Like men just kind of eat all the food and, you know, drink beer and don't really care. Whereas women are a little bit more sensitive to that. They don't want to eat as much. They want to drink the food more. So the superfood smoothie, it's more of a woman's thing, I think. And it's also, you know, true of the super herb, super food combination is also more of a woman's thing where, you know, women just are more on top of it, understand the whole concept better and are doing it more. And juices as well.
I think women also relate to the green color foods more than men. It's just kind of my own observation that green foods and women kind of go a little bit more hand in hand than, you know, men tend towards the more jingy foods, maybe even some of the more like vitamin C orange type foods, but women really relate to the green foods. So what can you see as a correlation between women's health and green foods?
Green foods are detoxifiers and they're neutralizers and they're deodorizers. So if you want to smell good, you want everything coming through you to smell good, you want to get the heavy metals out of your system. You know, women just are more tuned into cleanliness than men are. That's my observation. I think it's true. I mean, I think that's a realistic observation. I think that's actually what's going on. And so women are more tuned in as a result of that to internal cleanliness as well. And basically, you know, that old phrase, when you're green on the inside, you're clean on the inside, is just something that just women just do it. They take heed of that. And it's amazing to me how many green juices women around me do consume versus me. I mean, I like green juice, but it's not like, you know, every day, all day long. But when I look around me, I see all these women just doing that. They're just hitting the green juice. And it's fantastic. I think it's an amazing trend.
And among the green foods, there's different classes of green foods. What are some of your favorite green foods and why? I mean, there's the green foods that you can get in your supermarket and grocery store, but then there's also like the super greens, like the superfood greens. What's your kind of take on the super greens?
Well, I really like all green leafy vegetables. They're really important. They're great sources of vitamin B9. They're great sources of vitamin K. They're great sources of calcium and magnesium. In some cases, if they're grown really well, they can be great sources of zinc. Ultimately, though, it's a lot of fiber to process. And if we want to get right to the point, we go to the super green algaes, the super green foods like marine phytoplanktons and AFA blue green algae and chlorella. And in particular, which is right on the rise right now, spirulina.
And is spirulina the type of food that we can consume on a daily basis, or is spirulina something that it needs to be like a 3 days on, 4 days off type of thing? Where do you fit spirulina in your protocol, and where does spirulina fit in as an actual like food classification? Where does it fit in terms of calories? Where does it fit in terms of giving us protein versus fat versus carbohydrates? What's that kind of breakdown?
Well, spirulina is extraordinarily high in protein. It's 60 to 70% protein by dry matter weight, which is the highest in the world. There is nothing higher in the world. So that means most of the calories from spirulina actually comes from the protein. And that's interesting. So it's a protein-based food. And if you do well on high protein, spirulina can be a really amazing food for you. Now, where does it fit? It basically fits in as a green alkaline food. And it's got one really interesting accessory pigment in it. It's only 2 or 3% chlorophyll, but as much as 20%, according to my latest research, phycocyanin, which is the blue pigment. Now, when I say 20%, I'm saying that there are spirulinas out there that are 20% blue pigment by dry matter weight, whereas they're only 2 or 3% chlorophyll. So this is a very interesting thing, is that there's the chlorophyll, you know, convert the sunlight to sugar, the magician that creates, you know, the possibility of all this energy and life on the planet. Yes, there's that in spirulina, and definitely that's one of the most important nutrients there is. But yet there's this other thing in spirulina that is not present in chlorella, it's not present in marine phytoplankton, it's not present in green leaves, which is the phycocyanin, the blue pigment. Now, this blue pigment I've been studying really a lot lately, and it is fascinating as anything. I'm still completely fascinated by it. It's a highly structured, very organized, very difficult pigment for nature to produce. In fact, this is something that's going to be in my new book, which is called The Color Cure. And this is one of the most amazing and astonishing discoveries in my whole career. And I'm so glad I get to bring this in right here. I've been studying all the color pigments that give food their colors. They give nature its colors. Chlorophyll is an easy one. It's going to give greens. Everywhere you look, you see green. That's chlorophyll. But most difficult pigment for nature to produce is blue. It's the last pigment that comes into being. In most cases, nature chooses not to produce a blue pigment, but to fake it instead. Now, that is such an astonishing discovery. It's blowing my mind. I spent all morning reading about it. Nature has such a difficult time producing blue pigments, or there are things about blue pigments we don't understand, that it actually, instead of producing blue, will fake it instead. For example, like blue eyes. Nobody has any blue pigments in their eyes. There is no blue pigment in anybody's eyes. It's all brown pigments in various layers of glass, various layers of windows. And there's three major layers of windows in our eyes. So it's like three layers of windows in a building. And each window has a different level of brown pigment in it. And the refraction of the light through those windows shifts it to blue. And so you think you're seeing blue, but in fact, if you got in there and look closely, there aren't any blue pigments in anybody's eyes. This is also true with a peacock's tail. You see greens and you see turquoise, and you see blue. There's no blue or turquoise or green pigments there at all. There's only brown pigments. It's a refraction of light. So nature's faking it instead of actually producing the blue pigment. Same with the sky and same with water. There's no blue pigments in any water. The water is completely clear. Why does it appear blue? It's a refraction of light. It's light moving through windows. That's what the water is. It's various layers of windows, and it refracts it to look blue. It's the same as true with the sky. There's no blue pigment in the sky anywhere. What's causing the blue? It's a refraction of light. Now, there are very few foods that contain this blue pigment. Spirulina is one of them, and it's probably the most bioavailable of any source, and it is one of the most interesting substances because that phycocyanin is very similar in its structure and effect on your body to bilirubin, which is kind of a homeostatic balancing protein and pigment, a yellow pigment that you produce from broken down red blood cells. And instead of using bilirubin, your body can use phycocyanin, which appears to positively influence metabolism in almost every way possible, whether it's joint metabolism, whether it's the metabolism of your digestive tract, whether it's metabolism of your liver, whether it's the conditioning and function of your heart, whether it's your kidneys. Phycocyanin appears to have an ubiquitous effect in modulating all organs. Now, ubiquitous, what does that mean? It means an overall effect. It's affecting everything, and it's able to do that in kind of a homeostatic way, which means that if your kidneys are overfunctioning one way, it brings it back down. If your heart's overstimulating one way, it brings it back to the middle. And that, to me, makes phycocyanin perhaps the most interesting food pigment in the world. It's fascinating to me. Now, what this is indicating is that blue is the last color to come along. In fact, I'm sure of it. I'm positive of that. Blue is the last color to evolve, and it evolves from purple. And actually in the anthocyanin pigment, the pigment goes more and more and more alkaline, and that's what turns the purple to a blue. So if the pigment is acidic, it's a red, which most anthocyanins are. If it starts to go to a neutral pH, it's a purple, and that crosses into an alkaline pH, it turns into a blue. There are only two anthocyanin blue pigments, and there's only one phycobiliprotein, which is the actual phycocyanin, that's blue. And there's a few other scattered pterins, which are, you know, those are blue pigments that are in butterfly wings. Other than that, that's it. There are no blue pigments in nature. Those are the only ones. That's really a crazy discovery. And I don't really know what it means. I've been contemplating what it means. But I do know this, it has definitely activated me to consume way more spirulina. And how much spirulina can you consume? You had asked me that question. And the answer is, you can't have spirulina in mega doses every day for 20 years because it's too much. It's so rich in protein. It's so rich in nutrients. It's so rich in carotenoids and, you know, flavonoids. It's just extraordinarily rich food. So it's like any rich food. You have, you know, a little bit. You do a teaspoon, tablespoon. You know, that's it. That's all you need for the day. So this actual whole thing about blue and every pigment, I'm going to break down at Women's Wellness Conference in a way that's actually never been presented by anybody in the world ever, because I've written a whole book on this now. I've gone through every book. I've gone through every study. I mean, I think I've gone through 1,000 studies, and it blows my mind because other people have come to the same conclusions, but no one's ever written a book on it. It's been put into, you know, it's been put into research studies. Actually, there is a book that actually has a section on it, but it's not about food color pigments. It's about nature's palette of colors, you know, how pigments were discovered. And it was more on that subject. And in that book, there's a whole chapter on blue and that nature fakes blue rather than actually producing a blue pigment. This whole thing is going to be an incredible part of the Women's Wellness Conference, because here's what all these pigments are. They appear to be the most evolved aspect of the food, meaning they're the most structural, they're the most organized, they're the most symmetrical, they're the most evolved. They're probably the last thing to come along, and they're the most powerful. For example, like cyanidin, right, which is a red pigment that's in all different kinds of berries. You know, it's in Schizandra berry. Okay, already lycopene as a carotenoid is 5 times more powerful than vitamin C. Cyanidin is 4 times more powerful than lycopene, which means it's 20 times more powerful than vitamin C as an antioxidant. So the most powerful things in the food from like a chemical perspective, beneficial health effects, for sure at this point, I'm going to say the most powerful thing is the food color pigment.
That's amazing. And at the Women's Wellness Conference, again, reminding people, this is September 19th to the 21st. David, you're going to be taking the stage. You're going to be talking about some fascinating topics. This topic is literally going to blow the roof off of everything. I mean, literally, it's so simple and yet it's so profound. I can't wait to hear it.
It's deep. It's deep. It's exciting, and it's leading us somewhere. It's leading to some conclusions. And, you know, I'm in the middle of it right now. So I got some ideas as to where this is going. And that's what I'm going to be, that's what I'm going to be delivering at Women's Wellness Conference. And I think the conclusions that I've come to, it's going to activate your imagination. It's going to inspire you. It has changed the alchemy, Lou, the alchemy of what I would like, the way I'm mixing food together now based on the food pigment science is a whole, it's a whole nother thing now. It's a whole nother thing now. I can't, don't have time right now to get into it. I'm getting into that full on at Women's Wellness Conference. In fact, I'm going to make recipes based on those discoveries. Where we're going to, this is, well, I'm just going to give you a little, another little hint. And this is going to be the last one. Basically, the vegetable pigments, the carotenoids are pretty stable. They're fat soluble. So for example, you make a carrot juice, you are way better off putting a little bit of olive oil in that carrot juice. You're going to absorb way more. The research is conclusive. The blood research, the amazing level of research that's gone on is conclusive because all those color pigments are fat soluble. So you're better off putting like a little avocado in that carrot juice or a little bit of olive oil in that carrot juice because you absorb it better. But the carotenoids like beta carotene, super stable, you know, meaning that they survive going through your digestive tract. They survive in your blood. You know, they get to the cells and they do the job that they're supposed to do, which is absorb into the cell membranes and protect your cells. But the fruit pigments are more powerful. Remember, I said cyanidin is four times more powerful than lycopene. Lycopene is like beta carotene. It's a carotenoid. You know, it's what's in tomatoes. And overall, the cyanidin is 20 times more powerful than vitamin C as an antioxidant, which is crazy. But the problem with cyanidin is it breaks down almost immediately in the digestive tract. So what we're going to get into is strategies to get the cyanidin to actually get all the way in without being broken down. Still good for you, even if it is broken down. Really, it's amazing. The phenol groups that make up that cyanidin are, you know, some of the best stuff there is for your cardiovascular system and some of the best stuff for protecting your healthy cells and their communication networks and blocking the communication networks of mutated cells. However, if we can get the entire molecule to the cell, we can completely change the entire future of human nutrition. And I'm going to lay that out in a way that no one's ever heard before. And it's blowing my mind. I have to say, I see it now. I understand where we're going, what the next phase of research is, and what the next phase of food is.
Yeah, I don't even know how to follow that up. I'm just like, it's so dead on. What you're saying is so dead on. And it's almost like the stars are aligning for like the next age of the world in terms of nutrition. It was there all along. We never saw it, but here it is now. And it's about the colors of foods.
That's it. I'm like voracious on this right now. I mean, I must be going through daily. I'm going through 20, 30 different studies daily. And I'm just like, you know, like today I was deep into Schizandra. What is Schizandra? What's Schizandra all about? What are the pigments in it? Day before that, I was deep into ginkgo. You know, what's going on with the ginkgo leaf? What's in it? Why all the yellows in ginkgo? Where did that come from? And why yellow? And it just, oh, this is going to be incredible. I mean, I can't wait, actually. I am so ready right now for that Women's Wellness Conference that I wish it was tomorrow.
It's going to be amazing. So for people listening, it's September 19th to the 21st. We've got an amazing follow-up with Longevity Yoga with David the Monday after the event. If you're listening to this, just click on the link below for the Women's Wellness Conference. We are getting really close to being sold out. I mean, at this point last year, we were pretty far out from being sold out, but now we've sold over 500 tickets, but we are getting really, really close to capacity, and it's probably going to be our quickest sellout in terms of the Women's Wellness Conference. This conference started as kind of like a small adjunct to the Longevity Now conference, but it's turning out to be one of our biggest events of the year. There's so much interest and enthusiasm, and we've got some great lineup of speakers. Marianne Williamson speaking. She's just, you know, a phenomenal resource. If you haven't YouTubed her, I've been YouTubing her all week, and she's got some amazing stuff. You're coming. We've got some just our regular speakers, Nadine Arnimus, Tara Warner's coming. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal event. And if you haven't been to one of our events, definitely this is one to come to. If you've been to our events, I don't need to say too much. You kind of know how amazing they are. And Dave, you're going to take the stage. And I really feel like this is going to really be a turning point in terms of people's nutrition, in terms of the simplicity of how they can implement it with the whole color food combination.
Fantastic. And by the way, for anybody who wanted to check it out online, it's just womenswellnessconference.com. All the details are there for that September 19th through 22nd weekend down there at the Orange County Hilton in Costa Mesa, California.
This program was brought to you by thebestdayever.com. Thanks for listening.